Good morning, Radiant Life. What a great time of worship. This morning, I am just excited to be back in Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the second half of Romans chapter 12. In my Bible, the label right above verse 9 says, Marks of the True Christian. And I think that this verse and these verses that we're going to look at really label it pretty well. Marks of a true Christian. And in fact, what we're going to see today is that Paul lays out a strategy of being inside and then outside the church, inside the church, outside the church. Helps us understand how to deal with relationships inside the church and then outside the church, and then inside and then outside. And over the last few weeks, we have been talking about our heart for the house. And at Radiant Life Church, whether it is our teams believing that what we do inside should lead us outside, whether it is our culture carrier disciples, our small groups that we believe we should grow, that iron should sharpen iron inside, and then that we should bring people in to those groups to see God change hearts and change lives so that we can go outside the church and make a difference. In fact, at the end of the service, I have an exciting opportunity, I believe, on both sides, in our life groups, as well as in our outreach into our community, that God has just laid in our laps. That is crazy exciting. That's going to involve a lot of food and going to need a lot of man and woman power to come and make it happen in the month of October. But first, I want us to look here at Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21. Starts with let love be genuine. And that's what it's all about. When we love our world enough to go against the flow, when we love our world enough to stand upon the truths of the word, when we love our world enough to go from inside to outside, there's genuine love. Genuine love takes hold, and we experience and make a difference like we cannot any other way. Verse 9 through 13 say, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. There's something that as he starts this section off, we see that there's an inside nature. These things, the people that he's talking to, those that are inside, brotherly affection, outdo one another in honor, serve the Lord. God wants to do something within his church in a powerful and mighty way. He wants to use you with people that are right around you here today, that are sitting around you to see his kingdom come inside of the church, to see genuine brotherly love take a hold. Right from the beginning, we see that this abhorring evil is a big thing, but there's also the hold fast to what is good. And when I think of the church, it's easy to do one or the other. It's easy to cling to good. It's easy to say, this is the good stuff. This is what I want. This is who I am. Or we see a lot of times people that may abhor what is evil. So they speak out against the bad, the wrong, those things. And I believe that right here we see that it's important to do both of these things. And as a church, as a community, right here, that in a minute we're going to be going outside, must abhor what is evil. We must block it. We must get it away from us. We must not allow it to be inside of us or to live in it. But we have to hold fast to what is good, to the truth of his word, to the truth that he loves our world, to the truth that it's our job and responsibility to go share the love of Jesus in a world that may not believe or sometimes act or think like maybe you and I would want them to. It's our job to love. It's our job to care for one another. It talks about showing honor this weekend. We had a lot of fun at our house. First of all, if you're on Facebook, we're in the middle of remodeling our house. So this is just free, but they just cut a 14-foot section of wall from our living space that we currently have to the space that they're adding on. So there's a roof on it, which is really good. There's a lot of things, but you know what they don't have on it yet? It's not like airtight, so the bugs can just fly in between certain places. So our house is now really, really exciting. So there's some different bugs and creepy things. So we have home defense all over the place, trying to keep the little bugs out. But that has nothing to do with this sermon. But we had people over to our house. And on Friday night, we had our first Foundations Life Group. Which, if you've never taken Foundations, right now in the first service, Pastor Dave is teaching our class. And then on Friday nights, the second and fourth Friday nights of the month, we are meeting at our house. And it was a great time. We had a good group of us. And I just want to honor every one of you that was there, that you just shared what Jesus was doing in your life. The testimonies that we heard were so powerful. And the thing that I loved about it is nobody in the room really knew anybody else in the room. It was all people that didn't have relationship. And each of you that were there were willing to share and really talk out of the deep spots of their heart and not just kind of fluff on top. I want to honor the people of God when you come together, when you love one another enough to say, hey, this is the good stuff in my life, and this is some of the stuff that maybe was really, really, really difficult. And even more, this is stuff I'm walking through right now. Something happens when God's people are willing to be real about who they are, about where maybe who they were, and now what God has done and what God is doing. There's something about showing honor. There's something about loving each other that I believe leads right into keeping a spiritual fervor, keeping our spiritual life strong and attached to who He is, keeping us in a place where we're growing and learning and maturing. It's difficult to do that by ourselves. But when we get a group of people together, something different happens. Something begins to happen. And when we then open up and begin to speak what God is doing, what He's saying, what He's done, the testimony, the miracles, all of a sudden, I believe everybody in the room just begins to get a little bit more excitement, a little more zeal for the things of God, and all of a sudden you leave on a Friday night after a small group and say, come on, let's do this again. We have to wait 2 weeks? Why did we do that? We should have done it every week. Because there's something about being in our family, growing together, rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, being constant in prayer. There's something about God's people coming together, not because we are perfect and we have all the answers, because if you've figured that one out, that's great, but the rest of us are catching up with you. We don't have everything figured out, but because when we're following Him and we're rejoicing in Him and being patient in tribulation, we would rather skip that one. Constant prayer sounds better than being patient in tribulation. But I begin to realize that these three things in this sentence go together. That it's pretty tough to rejoice in hope if I'm not constant in prayer, if I'm not willing to be patient in tribulation. There's no way I'm going to be patient in tribulation if I'm not constantly praying and I'm not spending time with God. It's just not going to happen. So all of a sudden, I realize that if I want to have a hope in my life, even in the midst of a moment where my prayer life's the best it's ever been because I'm walking in a pain or a suffering moment, a tribulation moment, I have to have all three to push forward into what God has for me. As a church, it is time to commit ourselves to praying, to seeking Him, to going after the things of God, doing it together, inside, together as the church family, coming, eating, having fellowship together, hanging out together. Men, women, couples, young adults, our kids right now that are getting to hang out, have fun, that they get to run around in the gym at the beginning. I ran down there, and my Chandler, he's throwing a frisbee, and another kid, Pastor Joe and Ashley, their son Parker, he's throwing a big ball at the frisbee in the air. I'm like, what could go wrong, really? I mean, it was awesome. They're having fun. They're growing. They're spending time together, and that inside community is so vital to help us go and make a difference. Because it is in verse 23, this section, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Another way is to say distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to the needs of the saints. This week, I got a call that said, hey, we want to help a lady in the church who has just a financial issue. And I, as pastor, I'm like, come on. So they have a group of people that are going to help and encourage and bless one of our ladies. And I could not be more thrilled about anything than that, when the people of the church come together and do what the scripture says and give to the needs of the saints. This week, you don't know, but every time that you give, there's opportunities that we then get to help people that are in need. And it's such a blessing that every time, every week when our check comes out of our money comes out of our check to come to the church, I know there's going to be people right here in this congregation, inside of this house, that are going to be encouraged and built up because we're taking care of the needs of the saints, those that are inside of these walls. Give into hospitality. God wants us to show the world what it means to love and to care. And I believe it starts inside with you and me showing hospitality to one another. It starts with you and me making a difference. Pursuing people with hospitality is putting love into action. God, He wants to use you and show Himself through you. But in this pattern of this scripture, the next verse jumps to number 14 and says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And when we think about this, the form of speech, it changes and looks into a place where now it's no longer inside, but he takes the verse off and says, this is great, inside is great, loving is great, honoring is great, keeping our spiritual fervor is really, really great. We need to do these things, being hospitable. But then also bless those on the outside. Bless those that persecute you. Bless those that come against you. Bless those that call the Bible extreme, almost propaganda. Bless those people. Pray for those people. Lift those people up. Let the love of Jesus come from inside the house to the people who come against us. Whether it's against the things of God, or maybe more specifically, when someone specifically comes against you. When someone, because of lack of understanding or lack of wisdom, or just because someone doesn't like you, comes against you and persecutes you, what are we called to do outside of these? We are called to bless those who persecute you. What Jesus spoke, what Paul's speaking here, is so incredibly important. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5:44 says it that way. There's something vital about letting the goodness of God flow through us. When you think of Jesus on the cross, Luke 23:34 says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And we are called to be inside the church so that we go outside of the church. And when persecution comes, we say, Lord, bless them. If it's words, if it's actions, whatever it is, Lord, bless them. Even in the midst of hanging on a cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Something God has been just speaking in my heart is any time in the history of the world, really, it's so easy to look at people and say that they get what they deserve, or, you know, whatever happens in their life. And I want to be someone that says, Lord Jesus, I pray that right up until the moment of death, I pray that they turn to you and that they find heaven instead of hell. If for 3 seconds on this earth, they turned to you. There's something that happens when the church inside loves each other, we care for each other, that puts that love into action by going outside and even the persecuting. We say, Lord, get them into heaven. Lord, let them come to you right on their deathbed. There was a gentleman real early on, probably almost 15 years ago now, that I went to the hospital. I think it was the first summer of being a pastor here as a young adult pastor and associate. And I was told to go to the hospital because someone had requested a pastor. And so I went and I prayed with this guy who he was about to die. He was super old. He had a stroke. Periodically, he would like grab your hand. So they thought he may have known what was going on. And I went and he was kind of unresponsive in the moment. But I just laid out the sinner's prayer to this guy. People had talked about him. He was just a rough, rough character. If you think of the word of God, you wouldn't have his picture there at all, like from what these people told me. But I laid out the word of God to this guy that was unresponsive to me. I didn't know if he could hear anything. And I said, do you want to pray the prayer? Do you want to come and give your life to Jesus? Do you want to repent of your past? And as clear as day, this guy grabbed my hand Like, I couldn't, he didn't have that strength, I don't think, but he grabbed my hand, and I led him in a prayer where he literally was trying to speak. I believe with all my heart, this guy, on literally the last day of his life, gave his life to the Lord in a state where he was not all with us in other conversation, but I believe God gave him the chance on that bed to give his life to him, to repent of his sins, and I believe he is in heaven. The best thing in the world. I would prefer someone come to know the Lord a little earlier so they can live for Jesus and enjoy the greatness of what God does in our life. That would be great. But I don't care who the person is. I want that person in heaven with the Lord. And I want someday to join him and say, the grace of God is so good that all of a sudden it becomes more real. That what we do inside the church in showing love for another goes outside and makes all the difference to the world around us. C.S. Lewis said that everyone says forgiveness is a lovely ideal until they have something to forgive. And I believe the church must decide that we are a people that love, we give grace, we forgive people even when it hurts, even when it doesn't make sense, even when someone else might say, just forget them, who cares? We as the church, because of our love inside this wall, these walls make us go outside. And when I say inside of these walls, anytime we get together, anytime we hang out, whether it's inside these walls or inside your walls or at a restaurant or in a park or wherever it might be, that we come together as the body of Christ to go then outside and bless those who persecute us. And in this verse, we continue to see that it goes from inside to outside and now back in verse 15 and verse 16. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Now, when I think of church relationships, these verses are very, very important. Very, very important. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Weep with those who weep. There's no time as a church body that I want to come together and almost have our, these people are getting it group and these people aren't getting it group. And we're going to spend more, no, we're going to love one another as the church of Jesus Christ. We're going to come before him and we're going to share the love of God. And if you've been blessed with the ability and the knowledge of who he is, if you have the word of God in you and you can quote books or verses tons and tons, whether you're walking in great relationship or if you might be here today and this is your first day and you're struggling and you've just given your life to the Lord, or maybe you haven't yet, but today you feel God stirring in your heart. The word of God says, don't think of yourself better, don't think of yourself worse, but come together. Let's love one another. And that might mean someone that they struggle and you just don't understand why they can't get it. Maybe you've said something like that or heard something like that. I believe God is here saying, come to me. Come to me. I have you. I love you. And as a church, we need to be ready and willing to consistently say, come to me. Let's all try. Let's all grow. Let's all mature. But as the body of Christ, we are going to push forward into who God has for us. In verse 16, where it says, associate with people of low position. I think this is a order that sometimes we may or may not do as well as we should. It's more fun, it's easier to get with people in the similar group as us. It's more fun, maybe. I say more fun, until you actually get with other people, and then all of a sudden you realize, you know what? We're stuffy. We don't have it going on. But when I decide to let other people into my circle, that they may act different or look different or just they're not where, quote unquote, I am in my spiritual walk, all of a sudden I realize, you know what? These people are fun. I need to loosen up a little. I need to let even some of their growth rub off on me as it pushes me into greater growth in who God is. There's something about being a church that does not think, well, I've got it and you don't, so therefore I'm not going to hang out with you. But instead, let's be a church that we love each other, that we invite others to our house that maybe we wouldn't have thought of inviting just because they're not in the same socioeconomic bracket or whatever you want to say, whatever dividing line is, that we say, no, we are going to be a people that love. And I guarantee that when we do and when you do, I know when I have, it is the best. You learn new culture. You learn sometimes culture like just from where they're from. You know, I mean, you learn new things that are so exciting and life-giving and make what we do in following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords more fun because we understand somebody else, how Jesus loves them and cares for them. He's so good. When we think about it, if we are proud, so we've got it all. You think you've got all the answers? You're just financially secure, you're stable, or maybe you just know so much of the Word, or you hear the Word of God. So maybe there's proud, there's something that comes up in you, or believe that we consider ourselves worthless. So the exact opposite side of proud, and you say, I'm no good for anything. I don't have it. I can't be of any benefit to anybody. If we're on either side of this, we withhold what God intended to deliver to others through us. And today, wherever you're at, maybe you're in the middle, that's where you want to be. You're just living life, you're loving people. But if you're too proud to invite someone to your home or to invite them out because of just differences, or maybe you just think you're not good enough, you don't have the answers, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, today I want to tell you that the King of Kings, put it in here, don't do those things, but instead let my love shine through you. Let the kingdom of God just pour through you. Because I have something for you to do. I have something for you to do. Something that Pastor Chris can't do. God wants you to do. Somebody right next to you, they can't do it, but he wants you to do it. When we're together, when we're as a church, we're not going to have infighting and problems and all those things. Now, I will say that the verbiage that's used here is like in a family dynamic. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but Thanksgiving dinners in a family can be fun, right? Anybody, you have really fun Thanksgiving dinners? Anybody? There's a few out there that you're like, yes. And I think you've got my fun that I'm talking about. So guess what? In the church, we've got to love each other and just care and say, we don't all think the exact same, and they're probably thinking the exact same thing about you that you are thinking about them in certain moments. That's what a family does. But you know what else a family does? They keep showing up to Thanksgiving. You keep coming, you keep hanging out, you keep relationship, because it's way more important that family stays together than that we all have the exact same view. In fact, just real fast, I loved Thanksgiving growing up because my uncle and my cousins, specifically one of them, they would try to take my mom off, and they did a pretty good job of it. They were relentless in the things that they would say, not things they believed, but just things that they knew would rile my mom up. We all kind of enjoyed it, except for mom. And you know what worked sometimes? Then she would go clean all the dishes. So then no one else had to clean the dishes. So I'm not sure. But family relationships are fun, and sometimes they're a little difficult. And sometimes you go to the kitchen and say, I'm just going to clean the dishes, because for everyone, it might be a better situation, right? And so inside, we understand that there's those dynamics, but we as the family come together, we worship, we sing, we make a difference so that we can be united to go. Not thinking more than we should of ourselves, and not thinking less than we should of ourselves, but just thanking God for the grace of who he is. The last few verses, 17 to 21, say, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it ends this section with another outside section. Get outside of the wall. Make things good between you and your neighbor. Don't look for vengeance. That is the Lord's. Never avenge yourself. Do the things that I call you to do. And in fact, in verse 20, those things are, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your persecutor is hungry, go buy him something. Go take care of them. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. Overcome evil with good. And as the church, we are called to be a church that comes together, that is family, that has a great time growing and learning and becoming all Jesus called us to be together, so we can go out into our community, and if all we can do is heap burning coals, by loving people even when they hate our guts, then that's what we're called to do. To make a difference in our world. To stand up for the truths of God's word, but not in a Bible-thumping sort of way, but in a loving others sort of way. Because that's what he's called us to do. To love people like he loves us. The healthy Christian community means living inside and outside the church with love. God is good. He's going to use us, church, to be inside and to go outside to win our world for Jesus. So, Lord, this morning we come before you and we're so thankful that you are God. You reign in heaven. You're on the throne. But, Lord, you don't just want us to come and sing and look in your word and then just go home and do our thing for the week. But, Lord, you call us to be disciples, to grow, and you call us to go make disciples of all nations. You call us to reach out, to go from inside to outside. And then we're going to need to get back inside, to go back outside. And God, help us to follow the pattern of Scripture, to follow what we see here in Romans, Lord, to make a difference. And Lord, we pray that the food that we're able to distribute, that we're able to give out, God, that it would be life-giving, that it would make a difference in people's physical bodies. But Lord, in their spiritual, even more, God, we pray that people would come to know you, they'd come to know your love, they'd come to know who you are because, Lord, of physical, of tangible things that show your love. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. You are so, so good. It's all in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. We just are so glad that we get to be a part of serving God, relationship, and going and making a difference. So have a great day. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.